In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Christ our Lord casted out evil spirits of the demon possessed in today's gospel. He was blind and mute because of it, so that when he was healed, he was able to speak and see again. The work of the devil is what we want to talk about today. The reason behind the devil's efforts to corrupt humans and to make them fall is because he is jealous. Because humans were created in the image and likeness of God and created as kings and queens of the creation, and they have dominion over the plants and the animals. And so the devil is envious. And the devil is real, and he is among us, and he is walking and he is roaming the earth. And the problem is that he's very clever. He's a deceiver. And he disguises himself in whatever form he chooses. In fact, he can disguise himself in an angel of light, as St. Paul reminds us in 2 Corinthians. His demonic lifestyle we can find in magazines, on the TV, in movies like Netflix. You can find him in social media because it looks very attractive. And, for example, a movie that depicts adultery as beautiful and glorious, the thrill of the chase, a chase after a mistress. But we know that adultery is evil, that adultery is wrong. It destroys, it breaks homes. Or alcohol addiction, for example. It's never portrayed as it truly is, like a bunch of drunkards or auto accidents that happen because of it, or funerals as repercussions of people who drive drunk. No, instead, we see classy people drinking and having a good time and being entertained with alcohol. That's the way the devil roams. The Bible reminds us that he was a murderer from the beginning and has nothing to do with the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks according to his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. The father of lies. Now, Satan had fallen from heaven together with his evil angels, the group of angels that followed him, to do battle with God's servants. And they continue to do so and they don't sleep. Saint Clement of Alexandria comments and says, God created an archangel and the archangel made himself a devil. It wasn't God that made him a devil. He chose to separate himself from the love of God. Now, Satan cannot fight God, can he? He doesn't stand a chance. So, what does he do? He tries to hurt God by harming who? God's children, his people. He's the one who entered Judas, as it says in the scriptures, to bring about the betrayal and death of our Savior. He's the one who, as is written by St. Peter, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. So he's always on the prowl, looking to see who's vulnerable so that he can attack and bring him down. So he's for real. And he appears everywhere in different forms and has different names. He's not just the devil. We can call him drug addiction. We can call him pornography. We can call him greed. We can call him lust. We can call him envy. We can call him improper relationships because he is there. Now, Christ struggled with the devil during those 40 days in the wilderness. And we are taught that this kind cannot come out except by prayer and fasting. And we're taught in the Lord's Prayer what? Deliver us from the evil one. Deliver us from the evil one. Well, the devil hasn't changed his ways, hasn't changed his tactics. He's a master deceiver. His approach is always through lies. You have to know that. His approach is always by lying. Eve in the Garden of Eden had a dialogue with the devil telling him that God commanded us not to eat from this tree. But the devil refuted her. And he said, no, God didn't mean that. You won't die. God knows when you eat, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God. What does it mean to be like God, by the way? It means you are in control. It means you are in charge of your life. It means you make your own decisions, that you don't need God to tell you what to do. You are not a puppet. That you can do things on your own. You can be free. No rules. You call the shots. That's what it means And these are the lies that are produced by the master liar and the father of lies, the devil. So, and then Satan proceeds to tell another lie, and that is he convinces us to blame the responsibility on him, and he relieves us of our responsibility so that we end up saying, well, the devil made me do it. Right? Don't we say that? Yeah, the devil made me do it. That's not good enough. That's not a good enough excuse. Because Saint Cyril of Alexandria, he answers this lie centuries ago. He says, the devil is able to suggest, but he has no power to force himself against our choosing. It is by choice that we sin. Did you hear that? It is by choice that we sin. We can't just blame it on the devil. And that's why Christ urges us to watch and pray, to be vigilant, to be sober, so that we don't fall into temptation. Evil thoughts, they don't become sinful ones until we welcome them into our hearts, until we entertain them, until we take pleasure in them. You know, they say that birds can fly over your heads, that's fine, but we don't allow birds to build their nests on our head. It's the same thing with these fleeting thoughts, evil thoughts. We let them just fly by. We don't allow them to fester or creep into ourselves. So we choose good or evil. We can't just be on the fence. I cannot serve God and mammon. It's essential we know who the enemy is and how he operates. Because he takes the good things that God has created for us to enjoy and he distorts it or he abuses it. Like the demon of money. The demon of money is greed. I can't say money in and of itself is wrong or bad. But it leads to someone who wants to continue to build and to be greedy for himself and not think about others. Or the demon of intimacy is lust. The demon of self-respect is pride. Intimacy, for example, in the sacrament of marriage is not sinful, but using another person for one's self-gratification outside of marriage is. And that's how it becomes distorted. That's how the devil works. So he's always trying to get us to distort God's good creation. So how can we resist him? How can we fight against him? Saint Macarius the Great, he writes, the most important work in spiritual struggle is to enter the heart and there to wage war with Satan, to hate Satan, to fight him by opposing his thoughts. If a man keeps his body outwardly free from lust and corruption, but yet inwardly commits adultery before God by fornication in his thoughts, then there is no profit whatsoever in keeping his body pure. As it is written that whoever looks at a woman to lust after her has committed adultery with her already in his heart. So the battle is within the heart. Some of the greatest battles on earth are fought daily inside of us, right? The battlefield of our mind, the battlefield of our heart, as we wage war against the onslaught of the evil one. But our greatest resource also, our greatest help, the kingdom of God, is also found within. The kingdom of God is also within us. What does St. John write in his first epistle? Greater is he who is within us than he who is in the world. Greater is he who is within us than he who is in the world. Well, who is it that's in us who is greater than Satan in this world? Well, who else except God the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, the Holy Trinity? Because we belong to him. We commit to him. So through the Eucharist, through the body and blood, the saving body and blood of Christ, we have the power and authority to command Satan to leave us in the name of Jesus Christ. Just say the name. Just make the sign of the cross. And the devil will begin to shudder. He'll begin to shake. He'll quiver. We should say, get thee behind me, Satan, just as Christ did in the wilderness, in the desert. Our greatest weapon against Satan is, I don't have to tell you, it's prayer. If we stop praying, we open the door to him. When we decide to not pray anymore because we're lazy or we don't have time, you open the door to the demons. When we pray, Satan runs. Satan flees. Right? Like a burglar in the middle of the night, who hears noises or hears whispers in the home, he takes off. That's the same way as the coward, the devil, works. So God has given us the armor and weapons with which to resist and overcome the devil. St. Paul writes to Ephesians chapter 6, "Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we are not contending against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against the powers, against the world rulers of this present darkness, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." So the devil is for real. Spiritual warfare is real, whether we see it with our own eyes or not. But through his death and resurrection, Christ has given us victory. Victory over Satan. And this victory remains ours. We continue to be triumphant if we cling to him, if we hold on to him. Of course, we can lose him. We can decide to separate ourselves from him. And that's a decision that we make. But we should stay close to him in prayer. We should stay close to him in scripture. We should stay close to him in the Eucharist. And if we belong to him, then we can rest assured that there's no robber that can come in and steal us away from him who is the good shepherd and takes care of us. We know that. And he shields us from any tricks of the devil if we allow him to. Of course, we can resist him. We can resist the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, and then we become vulnerable to the attacks of the devil. But if we work with the Holy Spirit who rebukes us and convicts us, we're going to be powerful. And we've been given the power over serpents and scorpions and all other powers of the enemy. May our Lord Jesus Christ protect us from the snares of the devil. And may he help us stand firm and to resist evil temptation, whether it's peer pressure or whether it's something else in the world. Because the devil is deceptive and he has conniving ways. And he knows how to get through our idiosyncrasies and our vulnerabilities so that we can receive everlasting rewards in the eternal life with God. And glory be to God forever. Amen.